going to read starting Galatians chapter 3 and verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the children, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel to Abraham, unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with who? Faithful Abraham. All right, praise God. Well, we've been teaching on living in the supernatural. And we're in this section we call now partnering with the invisible. Partnering with the invisible. The place that we've come to now is the fact that the supernatural is the atmosphere of heaven. And that when you're talking about miracles, you're really talking about works of God. That Jesus said something, and we talked about it over in John chapter 14, verse 10. Jesus said, It's not me, but the Father in me, he doeth the works. Because they were kind of getting on Jesus about healing on the Sabbath day. Jesus said, I don't think you understand. I'm not healing anybody. The healing is coming through me, but the Father, he's doing the work. I'm healing by speaking that word. And most of the things that Jesus did in the earth, he did by the power of the word of God. But the Father was the final authority because he came here sent by the Father. And he said, I always do what I see my Father do. Say amen to that. Amen. But Jesus also we call the sample son, or he was a pattern son. He was a son that God sent to you and I that not only would redeem us, but he would bring us back up to the level that Adam had fallen from in the beginning. So Jesus came to cause us to be restored in every area of our lives. And he was bringing us back to where Adam functioned. Adam was functioning on a high plane. One of the biggest things that Adam lost in the fall is the image of God. He lost that image. And that image was very powerful because it allowed Adam to see God and heaven openly. It also is the thing that gave Adam this distinguishing trait as a ruler or one who had dominion over this earth. See, when God said, In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, it says this, And God blessed them and said to them, Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish and sea which fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God blessed them. Verse 28, And God blessed them. And God blessed them and said unto them, Now, he was not communicating. Have you ever communicated with God? Yeah. Do you have to? When you're listening for God and he communicates with you, how does he do it? Spirit. Do it through your thought life. Do it through your thought life. First time I heard God, it startled me. I had gotten born again. And I was in Chicago. I was working for a computer company at that time. And where I lived downtown in Chicago, in Oak Street, I had to walk straight up one of the main streets, and I had to go by a huge, this huge church that was on the way. So I decided I'm trying to get close to God. And I decided that I'm going to stop by this church every time I go up and get myself a little prayer, a little devotion. Didn't know much about it, but I'm working at it, you know. So I went there, and every morning I'd pray. This morning I was just, things were not going well in sales and so forth and so on, and I just didn't know what was happening. So I'm down there, and I'm kind of half praying, half crying, you know. And a voice spoke to me. She said, "Don't worry, William, you'll be all right." And I had my eyes closed, but it seemed like I saw a marquee come. You know how you go to a theater and the lights are flowing on the marquee and tell you what's playing there? That's where it came by. "Don't worry, William, you'll be all right." Whoa. Then I opened my eyes and tears just dried up instantly. I'm trying to figure out, did anybody else hear that? Because this was a church that, you know, people come by and so forth. Man. Wow. And I didn't know what that was. I said, man, God spoke to me. Now, he did it through my thought life. I'm just saying he walked and talked with Adam. They didn't need to open their mouth. They didn't need to do that. God can operate on a higher level with you. Have y'all know? He was, put the verse back up there, please. He wasn't communicating. He was transferring power. Are you with me? Now don't, y'all stay sharp with me right now, okay? Hallelujah. So Adam, when you saw Jesus doing something, you saw the last Adam. You saw him doing what Adam did, the first man did. You saw him acting the same way. See? Are you following what I'm saying? And he said, "Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth." See? Perpetually renew and supply it. Well, how was he going to do that? Through the blessing. The blessing was powerful enough to give Adam the same ability God had to create this thing. Boy, I'm preaching better than you saying amen now. That's a blessing. The blessing that is on you. One man said this. Now I believe I agree with it because I can't find nothing to disagree with. But he said the blessing that's on you is more powerful than it was on Adam. Folks, that's why I'm telling you, I've seen tapes of places, Newark, New Jersey, so forth, that this group, and that's what they do. They walk around two by two and walk in ruined neighborhoods and bless them. They just speak blessings. They just speak blessings. Now notice what happened. What are they doing? They're calling heaven down to earth. Now, let me help you with that as you do that. Jesus, in his ministry in the earth, no matter what the situation, no matter what the situation that Jesus had, he always called, he reached to heaven for a solution. That's what I want to say. He reached to heaven for a solution. His only resource, the main resource that he had to operate in this earth was faith. Glory to God. Y'all with me? When Adam sinned, a lifeline came into man's existence because now it's separating heaven and earth. Where heaven and earth, the earth was a copy of heaven. The garden was. Now, Adam's job was to replenish what? The earth. His job was to take the garden and make the garden all over the earth. Got it? But when he sinned, he broke his relationship with God. Now he doesn't even know God anymore. He's running from the one who created him. And hid from him, thought he could hide from God. Boy, you know you got to have some kind of mental rearrangement to think you can hide from God. He went and hid from God. God called out to Adam, where are you? He wasn't talking about his location. He was talking about his position. He had lost headship. He was no longer the head of this earth. Amen. Now, God has got to work a plan, because this man just blew it. So he had to take him and put him out of the garden. The Bible says he drove him out of the garden. Somebody said in a Mercedes 325. No, it's kidding. Drove him out of the garden. Now man's out there where he's got to try to feed himself. And he doesn't know anything about how to feed himself. He went into a mode called survival. Survival is a way that people avoid death. And Adam went into it. His 24/7 on his mind was food. What I'm going to eat, what I'm going to drink. And the same thing about people today who's on survival. They wake up thinking about how I'm going to pay these bills and go to bed thinking about them. That is the curse. Christ redeemed you from the curse. Oh, the curse is still out there. It's still poverty enough for anybody who wants any. But you've been redeemed from it. So poverty could be reigning all around, but you will be in the blessing. And that blessing, the Bible says, put up there, please. Genesis chapter 24 and verse 1. Genesis 24 and verse 1. Glory to God. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had what? Blessed Abraham. How? Everything. Spirit, soul, body, mentally, everything. Blessed him. The blessing of Abraham now has come on the Gentiles. The same way he blessed Father Abraham, he is obligated to bless you. Same way, no difference. If you're sick, heal you. If you're in bondage, deliver you. Are you following what I'm saying? I feel the Holy Ghost in here now. That blessing passed from Abraham to Isaac and Jacob. Well, Jacob had another brother named who? Esau. Well, what did Esau do? Esau sold out the blessing for some food. Same way Eve did. And food's been a problem ever since. All right, now, that blessing travels right along. Here's Jesus, he's operating under that blessing. So now, he came to add something to it, the spiritual part. Because the material part was right there. And that's why the enemy doesn't like this thing of Abraham taught a lot, because if you pick it up and you start operating in that blessing, you will accumulate wealth. Now, where am I? Praise God. Well, that's a message right there. That's the first part. That's part one, part eight. So now we're talking about the supernatural. In just about everything, anything Jesus did, his resource was heaven to make this thing happen. And so now as we start going, Jesus said, wait a minute, now the works that I did shall you do also. And what we said is you're coming into a time now that the natural or intellectual won't deliver you. You're coming into a time where that knowledge is not enough. And you know what people say when they've outrun that intellectual knowledge. Here's a comment. What are we going to do now? That almost all hope is gone. But any time you are partnering with God, all things become possible. All right, let's go to Genesis chapter 18, please. Genesis chapter 18. In Genesis chapter, praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 18, look what it says. I'll start reading here at verse 9. And they said unto him, this is the angels talking to Abraham, where is Sarah your wife? And he said, behold, in his tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women, meaning that she's too old now to have children anyway. Therefore, Sarah laughed when within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? Now notice she gladly put him right in the same category that she put herself. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child, which am old, is anything, come on, too hard for the Lord? So notice that's a question that we said that you need to ask yourself. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Let's go back over to Luke's gospel, please, Luke chapter 1. Is anything too hard for God? Because what we start talking about is the God factor. The God factor says, have you factored in God? Because the tendency is because we have been in this world and we've been trained by mostly this world system before we got born again, we're still thinking like the world. And when you think like the world, you think without God. If you look at the motion pictures or television, things that are out today, you don't see anybody break down in the middle of this thriller movie saying, praise God, let's pray. You don't see anything like that. They leave God completely out of it. Why? Because that's a Babylonian system. That's the only way they can make it work. Satan has to leave God out of his system if he wants it to work. And what we said is you came to bring God back in it. You can't, come on now, you came that God is going to use you in that system, that you won't bow down to that system, but you'll stand up on the word of God in that system, and the word of God will manifest and bring forth deliverance to everybody in that system. Look what it says here, and this is the angel coming to Mary now, verse 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. The king brought that from Isaiah chapter 9. And then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? I'm a virgin. I don't have a man. I'm not in relationship with a man. How's this going to happen? The angel answered and said to her, the Holy Ghost shall come on you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is a 6 month with her, who was called barren. For with who?
God.
With who?
God.
With God, nothing shall be impossible. Now, if you'd like me to go just a step further, I'd like you to put something in your Bible, because this is a direct translation of that verse. No word of God is void of power. No word of God is void of power. Now, that's going to mean something to you in a minute. No word of God is void of power. And what has happened is some people think if they just get the word, it's just a word. No, 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 no. The word of God, according to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, is quick and what? Powerful. It is alive. Quick means alive. The Word of God is alive. It's as alive as you are sitting in that chair right now. Say amen to that. Because the Word of God is God. Got it? And look what it says here in verse 38. Mary said, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word." And the angel departed from her, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste and to the city of Judah, and entered in the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." Glory to God. "And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed." Blessed is she that believed. Blessed is she that believed. Now notice, she had no evidence. She had nothing but the word of an angel. I guess you know the same thing about you. You have no evidence, but you got that Bible sitting in your lap. You got nothing but the word that's in that Bible. And if you take it and conceive it, you are blessed. Now notice what happened. First John chapter 1 verse 14. "And the word was made" what? "Flesh." The word came forth out of her in the form of a baby. So the word of God is capable of bringing forth the fruit of whatever seed it is. Now turn with me over to 1 Peter, please, in chapter 1, verse 23. Put it up there. All right, look what it says. It says, chapter 1, verse 23, I said. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says this. Let me turn it to my Bible. He says in verse 23, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the" what? "By the word of God." Now notice what he's saying here. He's saying being born again by the word of God. Now, this word of God is called an incorruptible seed. In other words, God's words are promises. And what this says is that if you take this word and meditate on it and eat it and consume it, then it will come alive inside of you. And the seed of the word will produce in your life and bring forth exactly what it says. Now, the same thing will work if you eat somebody else's opinion. Come on, help me now. If you allow the opinion of other people to come in to you and you eat it, then that opinion will express whatever it says. Now, the word of God has miracle action. Well, I'm preaching now. The word of God has miracle action. Now, let me show you this. Turn to, if you will, woo-hoo, Lord Jesus. Let's go to two places. Matthew chapter 14, please. Matthew chapter 14. All right, Matthew chapter 14. This is when Jesus came to the disciples walking on water. As he came walking on the water, it says in verse 25, "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea." Now remember what I said to you, that whatever he was doing, he was now showing you the power and the ability of the first Adam that existed. That Adam didn't need a boat. Folks, can I handle you right quick? Hold your hand right there, because I'm going from there to chapter 13. But hold your hand right there, and let's go to John chapter 6. Just real quick, because I've taught this, but I want you to put it together. See, you can't advance a kingdom except supernaturally. See, people are trying to do it out of their intellect, but it can't be done. Look, the enemy will stop that. You're no match for him there. You got to come up to another level. Look at verse 15 of John chapter 6. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again to a mountain himself alone. And when the evening was now come, his disciples went down into the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark. And Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. Now understand what the picture is. Jesus has sent them and he's maintained his position there. Say amen.
Amen.
They're now struggling against the wind. Verse 19. So when they had rowed about 5 or 20 or 30 furlongs, that's 3 or 4 miles, they see Jesus walking on the sea. That's a supernatural. Hello. And drawing nigh to the ship, and they were afraid. Now notice they're rowing. They're doing things in the intellect. Can't make it. But notice Jesus comes walking on the sea. Supernatural. He can make it. Verse 20. But he said unto them, it is I, be not afraid. You cannot operate in the supernatural with fear. I'm going to help you. That's all I'm going to say about that. Figure it out yourself. Verse 21. And they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land where they went. So notice what happened. He got in the boat. The boat was here in Chicago. Then once he got in, immediately it was in South Bend, Indiana. Come on, help me now, help me. What am I telling you? Adam moved at the speed of thought. His body was not matter that could cause the spirit of him, Lord have mercy, Jesus. His spirit, his body was not the limit of his ability. His body was just a house. It had to go where he went. And one moment, Jesus was here, and the next moment, he was over here. And when you see in Luke chapter 4, when they tried to push him off a cliff, notice the Bible says, and he walked right through them. Well, how did he walk right through them? He just turned into nothing. An invisible man just went right through them. And the next thing, he was gone. See, you're looking at me because your intellect has bound you and it doesn't want to let you go to let you know your body doesn't have dominion over you. You have dominion over your body. I'm saying if you can come with me, one moment you'll be in debt and tomorrow about this time, you'll be totally out. Oh, Lord. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying you need to think supernaturally, because if I can teach you the supernatural and you can think the supernatural, one minute you'll be right here, the next minute you'll be over there. Now, let's look at this Matthew again in chapter 4. Y'all with me? Oh, yeah. See, time was never meant to rule men. That's why Adam's in the garden, you never saw anything about time. You didn't see anything about time until he sinned. Once he sinned, he came under time.
Yes, that's right.
Other than that, he was eternal, just like his father. But now everybody's dates are given of how old they were. Why? Because everybody's head toward death. Because of Adam's sin, now every man's got to die. But before that, Adam was made to live forever. But you can restore the years. Y'all got to go with me because I feel a flow. Now, all right. Now, the word has miracle action and resurrection power. Boy, there's somebody came in here pulling this thing out today, boy. Now, let me just show you that. Because you got Matthew chapter 14 there, don't you? Well, let's just tell you what happened real quick so we can get out of that. The word has miracle action. And if you eat the wrong thing, you will lose that miracle action. And the word won't bring forth the fruit that the word is supposed to bring forth. Other than that, you'll get the fruit of doubt that you just ate. So when you pregnant with something, it's not a time to hang around folk that ain't pregnant. You know, it's not a time to go around folk. Are you following what I'm saying? I mean, people, you got to know who you're hanging around with. Because some people, you know, they ain't ready to bring forth. And they try to tell you where Big Mama had the same symptom and she died. Well, listen, God is not basing what you can do on what Big Mama did. God's word is true if you don't ever see it work. It's not true because you saw it. It's true anyhow because God said it. If God walked in this place right now and this is what he announced, today is Thursday. You may as well go home, come back on Sunday, because today is Thursday. Whatever God says is. Let's just go to resurrection real quick before we come back here. Stay in Matthew chapter 14. Have you got that? All right, look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. How y'all doing? You doing okay? I don't want to get too deep for you now, but I'm telling you that we're going to a place where one moment you're going to be right here. Then the next moment you're going to be over here. One moment you're going to be broke. And then the next moment, one moment nothing's going to be in your bank account. And then tomorrow about this time you're going to be loaded. I'm just telling you about the miracle action of the word. Look what it said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, come on, dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken. Oh, you got to define quicken. Quicken means restore life. I said quicken means to quicken, praise God, to make alive your what? Mortal body by his who? Spirit that dwelleth in you. Folks, that's a scripture that I've used more than once. You see, I was playing tennis and I heard something pop on the tennis court, pop, and then my ankle, my heel, just begin to pain. I said, oh my God, what's that? I thought I was outside playing. I thought somebody had shot a rifle or something from a long distance and it hit me. That's how loud it sounded and that's how it popped. And I couldn't walk. I came home, my wife, she said, what's wrong with you? I said, baby, I don't know. I must have, this tendon or something must have popped. I said, but by his stripes, I'm healed. And I'm telling you, I knew if I went to the doctor, thank God for the doctor, but I knew if I went there, they're going to say, the thing is popped. We're going to have to put it in a cast. We're going to have the dana. It's going to take, and you probably won't have full function of it for another 5 years or so. I said, wait a minute. I'm not going that route. But the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in me. He shall restore life to my mortal body. I took that scripture, worked it. In a few days, I was kind of running. Worked it, working in a few days. Then the next thing, I was back on the tennis court. Woo! Praise God. My point to you is that scripture is designed to bring life back to your bones. That scripture is designed to go down to the very cells of your body and heal them. Why? Because we've been redeemed. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. I believe I got some believers in here somewhere. Proverbs chapter 4. Death and life are where? Power of the tongue. Power of the tongue, folks. Devil's trying to use your authority to keep you down. Don't give it to him. I don't care how bad it looks. Say what God said. Telling you, Mary had nothing in the natural to tell her that this thing is working. Not a thing. But she believed God. Say, I believe God. Verse 20. My son, attend to my words. You know what attend means? You doing something, somebody come and say, hey, can you come over here with me? No. I got to attend to this right now. You got what I'm saying? Make it a priority. Every day you should get a little word. You know why? Because the word has life in it. I said the word has life in it. Not only that, if you look at Ephesians 5:26, it says that the word will cleanse and wash. Say amen to that. It says washing of the water with the word. It'll wash off all that corruption that's come to you because of sitting around and going places and so forth. Those things try to hang on to you. Get back in the word and get a good brain washing. Get a good washing. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your what? Heart, for they are to those that find them. And I don't know what your Bible says, in my center column reference, the Hebrew says medicine to all their flesh. You know what we're doing? We're taking preventive medicine. We're gonna take the word of God and meditate this word day and night. And any little sickness or any little pain come in your body, get in this word, meditate it, let the Holy Ghost bear witness inside of you and bring forth healing in. Now, I'm not saying anything's wrong with the oil. I can get some oil. But it says, let you call for the elders of the church. Suppose no elders are around. You can go get some medication yourself. See, we got this big cabinet in our home sometimes that we call it medicine cabinet. In any case, anything come in on us, we can always go to the medicine cabinet. We've kind of conditioned ourselves to run to that cabinet. Or in the workplace, we call it sick leave. We kind of call it, when we get off, oh, I'm taking a sick day. You need to stop saying that. Find another word to say it. You say amen. You in that medicine cabinet, put a King James Bible up in there. Say amen to that. I'm talking about living in the supernatural, partnering with the invisible, while we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, are subject to change, but the things that are not seen are eternal. For what is not seen? The Word of God. But if you take it and put it in your heart, it will manifest and bring forth exactly what it says. It will drive anything else out of your body. Does this make sense to you? Now, how about the blood? You got the blood. Not only did the blood save you, because the Bible says that that ransom that was paid for us was paid by the blood of Jesus. So notice, they couldn't use gold, they couldn't use silver because it wasn't worth enough. This is how much you're worth. He had to save you with his own blood. Watch this. And the blood came from the Father. Not from Mary. Come on now. Yep. Well, what am I telling you? That blood, once that blood, you plead that blood, then the blood speaks. Hebrews chapter 12. So you got the blood. You can put down a bloodline. Notice, nothing delivered them from Egypt until they spread, put the blood up there. Once they put the blood, they were out. Isn't this powerful? That's how powerful that blood is. Now let's look at one more thing. Let's look at the name. Go to Acts chapter 3, please. Acts chapter 3. Let's look at the name. Woo! Are you with me? All right. Here's a case where some people were going up to the synagogue, going to church. And I want to let you know that a powerful witness is you going to church. You'd be surprised how many people don't go to church anymore. And when you put on your Sunday go to meeting hat and put on your clothes and so forth, they watch you. They're checking you out. It puts something on their mind when you roll out of that driveway going to church. Now, when Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John and said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Peter said this in verse 12. Peter saw it, he answered it to people and said, "You men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk?" But let's skip on down here. Verse 16, "And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know." Faith in his name. Now you can read the other part there. He said, let me read verse 13. "And God of Abraham, the God of Abraham and Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and the God of our fathers has glorified" who? "His son, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." Let's go all the way over to Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, 'What shall we do to these men? For that indeed," underline the next word, "notable miracle has been done by them, is manifested to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." And they called them and commanded them not to what? Speak at all, nor what? Teach in the name of Jesus. Now, what am I saying? Folks still being threatened because of that name today. Come on now, there's a threat coming for some folk. And I'm saying that you're gonna have to rise up in a new level of boldness. But I want to call something to your attention on this whole teaching right here. That this name caused havoc among religious folk. And the one thing it did, it started upsetting the whole city. The name did. And if you go in some of the seminaries today, I almost call that cemetery. But if you go in some of the seminaries today, no, I don't mean that. They don't preach on the name. They don't teach on the name. I remember when I was going to seminary, and I remember that we had preaching class that we had to go to, and you learn how to put together and exegete passages and so forth and so on. And here I was trying to get the hermeneutics right and so forth and so on, because they don't want you to take things out of context, and it didn't mean that, and people have preached that. But what happened was, here I was, we were preaching, and I remember a guy behind me, or in front of me, whatever it was, started preaching, and preached the whole thing. And I said to myself, my goodness. Now he's preached, and what they thought was a perfect sermon, ideal sermon. Matter of fact, some years ago, one man preached the best sermon for that particular year. It was picked by, you know, people, theologians. Didn't mention the name of Jesus once. Now, I'm the only saying, not meaning anything against him, that the enemy is trying to get that name out. Say amen to this. And when we're talking about that, Jesus is the introduction, he is the body, and he is the conclusion. He is the Alpha, he is the Omega, he is the beginning of things, and he is the end of things. He is the author, come on, he is the developer, he is the good shepherd, he is the bright and morning star. There is not anything that he is not. Jesus is all and all. And when we come in, we got to understand that, wait a minute, if we're going to talk about anything, we got to talk about Jesus. Because this is what this whole book is all about. From the beginning to the end of things. So the devil is after our testimony. The next thing I want to bring to your attention is this: they said, this is a notable miracle. You see, I'm about fed up with the miracles where somebody take the cloth, their little handkerchief, and throw it on somebody and they fall out in the spirit. I'm through with that. I need a man who has been balled up like a knot, who has never walked, and when you speak that name, bones begin to straighten out. We need miracles that somebody won't say, oh, they rigged that, oh, they did that. No, no, no. You're about to see miracles in the church right now that nobody can deny it, whether they're saved or unsaved. We gotta stop just falling for little miracles, little handkerchief miracles. Let's go for some miracles that's gonna astound the world. This is it. Let's not anymore be caught up in those little things that might happen. Thank God for those. But we want some big ones now. I said we want some big ones. And we're gonna expect some big ones. Y'all looking at me kind of funny now. I know what I'm talking about. So what am I saying to you? I'm saying here were some men, and this notable miracle took place. And as this took place, the religious people wanted to put a hold on that. And I've been invited before to speak or to give the benediction or the prayer or something in a public gathering. And they've told me, now, Pastor Winston, we'd like you to... to understand we have various people here. And all these people that are here, these people, some of them of different religions. And we may not want to mention the name. I said, okay, if I can't mention it, I'm not doing it. Now, let me tell you something. The enemy is trying to get that name out of God's people. Trying to intimidate you so you won't say his name. Now, wait a minute. We call his name when we're down and out and don't know where our next meal is coming from. But let us get up and get a little car, a little new ride, new coat, new clothes. Come on now. All of a sudden, we get too cute. That name can't be called anymore. But I want you to make up your mind today that you're not going to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This that we're going into now is going to be a time of the supernatural. The church is no longer going to be looked at as begging, borrowing, and battered. We're going to be recognized and respected. Because as I'm putting this in you right now, the supernatural is going to come out of you. Your days of being lack and lack are over. Your days of being ridiculed are gone. Your days of being ashamed of who you are over. Come on now. You may as well wave them goodbye, because God is coming in with a new season in your life. I said he's coming in with a new season. When a man was down by the side of the road, he was begging. And he was named Blind Bartimaeus. The Bible says that Jesus passed by and he called for him. He called for him and nothing happened. Matter of fact, the religious people told him, shut up. But he couldn't shut up. And I'm going to tell you, there are places in that Bible where Jesus told them, don't tell nobody. And what did they do? You know why they told everybody? Because they had been touched by the Master. And a lot of folk can't tell folk about Jesus today because you ain't been touched right. I said, you haven't been touched right. But when you get touched right by the Master, come on now. My grandmama used to say, I know him for myself. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying God is touching people today. And when he touch you right, you are not going to shut up. You're going to tell somebody. Somebody going to have to listen to what you say. Do you hear what I'm telling you? I'm telling you, God is on the move now. And when he has come into your life, I'm telling you, my grandmama used to say, son, you don't know him like I know him. Because she knew when she was out of food, he came in there. She knew when her husband was sick and prayed, God moved. Sometimes all she had to say was, God, you know. Hey, and something happened that night. I'm telling you, you're going to know him for yourself. And when you know him for yourself, nobody is going to shut you up. Hey! Come out of him, you foul, unclean devil. Come out in Jesus' name. Hey! It's time to know him for yourself. A shout, cause we gonna know him. Sit down. Let me dismiss here.
cross. Woo! Oh, how sweet the name. When you've been touched by Jesus, you can't shut up. You can't shut up. Woo! All right, let me dismiss here. I got to. All right, sit down.